Oh, I have a powerful word for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. What a different flow of praise and worship today. Amen. Powerful, powerful. Today I want to circle back. Say circle back. I want to circle back on a topic that I have taught on quite a bit in the over 4 years I've been pastor here at Living Waters Chapel. But during prayer this week, the Holy Spirit dropped a specific topic in my spirit, and I feel led to go in that direction. It's a topic that you can never hear too often. I say it all the time. You can never hear it too often. You can never learn too much about it. Why? Because it's so central and foundational to the life of the Christian. Amen? The Holy Spirit revealed a part of this topic for me to zoom in on from another perspective. I say this all the time. It's like going up the same mountain, but at a different angle, to see it in a different perspective, another dimension, if you will, of that topic. Today, I want to talk about, what do you think I want to talk about today? Come on, I want to talk about the topic of faith again. But, listen to me, but specifically, I want to talk about faith in connection to this, ready? To the endurance or the length of time that we are to have faith. The length of time or the endurance of time to maintain faith until we receive the promise. The title of my message is simply this, the endurance of faith. Say, the endurance of faith. I've mentioned this in past messages about faith, but it's been kind of in passing. Today, I want to really zoom in on that aspect of faith. Believe me, you're going to hear things that are going to be different than what I said in the past. During my time of prayer, the Holy Spirit instructed me this. He said this, look up the different passages and verses in the Word of God about faith. So it's scriptures, it's verses that we've seen before. But this was the direction he gave me. He said, but specifically, pay close attention to the words that are connected, ready? To time in connection to faith. Oh, my, my, my. Get ready. We got some revelation bombs the Holy Ghost is going to release today. I will be going over some of the very same verses and passages that I did even recently, a few weeks ago, all right? But these are points that I'm going to bring up that I didn't bring up in the past. I'm going to say some things and word some things differently than I have in the past about faith to give you another, again, perspective on this topic of faith. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, this could be the very message that sparks revelation or gives you, the people, more clarity, more understanding about the topic of faith. Amen? This could be the very perspective that's been lacking in your faith. That's my prayer every week. Lord, give me a message to perfect that which is lacking in the faith of the hearers. So this might be the very key that you haven't been seen, but you're going to see it today. And all of a sudden, it makes clear sense to you, all right? That's why Bible teachers, you got any Bible teachers in here, right? Of course we do. Yes, we do, all over. That's why it's important to revisit topics when the Holy Spirit gives a different perspective on it. That's what a good and effective Bible teacher does. Revisit a topic, come on, with new insight. Amen? Now, listen to this. I could have resisted that nudge, that urge from the Holy Spirit and say, nah, I talked about faith way too much. Lord, I talked about faith way too much. I got to do something different because I might look foolish up there. Come on. But I don't. I'm not doing that. I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Here we go. Our ways are not God's ways, so always obey the Holy Spirit when it doesn't make sense to your fleshly mind and thoughts. Amen? Here we go. There are three kinds of faith revealed in the Word of God. Number one, from what I see. If I'm missing one, forgive me, but I'm going to bring up three right here. Three kinds of faith. Number one, the faith, or the beliefs of the Christian faith that are found in the Word of God. That's the faith. Then there's the gift of faith, which is given from the Holy Spirit for a specific assignment or to receive something specific. It's basically an added boost of supernatural help from the Holy Spirit, a boost of faith. You get it? And then there's what we call personal faith. Say personal faith. Personal faith is our responsibility to possess, to get born again, and to receive the promises that are in the Word of God. So the faith, the gift of faith, and personal faith. Today in this message, I'm talking about personal faith, our responsibility to receive, okay? So let's dive right into this and see where the Holy Spirit leads us here. Personal faith is our responsibility to possess and to maintain time and endurance until a promise in the Word of God and that which we are believing for to receive from God is received or manifested in the natural realm. Did you get that? Personal faith is our responsibility to possess and to maintain, all right, to receive something from God. The Word of God says in Romans 12:3 that God created mankind with the measure of faith. The measure of faith. That means that we as humans, we as mankind, are capable of possessing faith because we're made in the image of God. Amen? We are spirit. It's possible for us to have faith, to possess it. So if you're saying, I just can't have faith for that, you're a liar. Or you're ignorant of it. You just don't know. That's why you're here today. Amen? And faith comes, the Word of God says, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith gets deposited in our heart depending on how much of the Word of God we hear, we read, we feed on, and we meditate on. It's like this. Here we go. This is another aspect that I'm going to talk about faith that I haven't mentioned before, but this might give you a little bit more clarity. Here we go. It's like God gives us a faith tank. Say faith tank. But we are responsible to fill up that faith tank with our personal faith. Faith in God, faith in the promises in the Word of God, faith to act on the Word of God, faith to verbally speak the Word of God, and so on. You get the point. Faith, now at its root, is simply this: trust in God. Faith is trusting God, trusting His written word and what He said. That is, trust is the most basic form of what faith is. It's trust. Say trust. Now, the Word of God refers to different amounts or levels of faith for your, come on, faith tank. It refers to no faith or faithless. It says there's little faith or great faith or strong faith. The point is that I'm trying to make with that is that there are different levels of faith that we possess, personal faith. I want you to think of the ability to have faith as the tank that you possess, which carries different amounts or levels of faith within that tank. Are you with me so far? Say, I have a faith tank. Say, I'm responsible to keep that tank filled. But the amount of faith isn't really the main point that God is trying to get across to us as Christians. That's not the main point of what God's trying to make us aware of. It's true, there's different levels. We have a faith tank. In the different levels is up to us how full we're going to keep it or how empty we're going to keep it. It's important, but that's not the main focus or point. The main point is the ability, are you ready, to have endurance, or the ability to withstand trials over a period of time, to maintain your faith or trust in God until you receive that specific answer in the natural realm. That's what God's trying to get across. The amount of faith in your tank is important because it's directly connected to how long, say how long, your faith will last to receive that blessing that you're believing God for. Listen to this. Oh, it gets better. It's no different than an airplane or a car having gas or fuel in the tank. The more I have, the greater distance I can go. But listen to this. Here's where it's more in line with aviation than a car. In a car, it's measured in miles, miles per gallon, right? It's measured in miles. I can drive until I run out of gas. In an airplane, it's not measured in miles. It's measured in, come on, time, endurance. It's measured in time, in how much fuel and time do I have left so I know when I need to refuel my airplane. Listen to this. In aviation, it's all about time or endurance and not miles, because we as pilots are dealing with, are you ready for this? Oh, this is so good, Jesus. Here we go. We are dealing with tailwinds and headwinds. That's why it's not miles per the gallon. It's in time, because you face headwinds slowing you down and you face tailwinds giving you a greater ground speed. So it might be different mileage over the same amount of time. The ground speed changes on the airplane. That determines the distance. That's why the amount of fuel I have in my airplane is based on time and not distance. Our faith tank is based on time and not distance. Because we, are you ready for this? Because we hit headwinds in life. We hit tailwinds in life. There is spiritual warfare. There is diversions in life. That's why it's based on endurance and not mileage or distance. That's why faith and patience are twins. They need to operate together. Oh, I see smiles going all over this. It's a light bulb going off, isn't it? Patience. Let's talk about patience real quick. This is important, because if we're talking about faith holding the endurance of time until we get what we want in this natural realm, we got to have a little patience. Say patience. So what is patience? Listen to this. Patience is defined as the ability or capacity, ready, to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, suffering, ready, without getting angry or upset. Oh, my goodness. You know what that tells me? Being able to handle all those things. Being able to handle all those things without, ready, being discouraged. Because discouragement pokes a hole in your faith tank. It's a fuel dump, and the enemy knows it, which shortens your time, and you give up on your blessing early. Come on. The Holy Spirit's trying to speak to us this morning. So patience is defined as the ability or capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset, or without giving up on your faith in God, in his word. Faith, now, oh, here we go. Listen to this. Faith deals with the spirit realm. Faith is spiritual. Patience deals with the issues you will face in the natural realm. Did you just hear what I said? Faith is spiritual, but patience deals with the junk and how you handle it in this natural realm. And that's a great combo. Say faith and patience. Say, I have faith and I have patience to carry me to the blessing. Come on. So patience gives you and I the ability to be calm and confident in the word of God during the storms. Come on. During the turbulence of real life issues and problems. How many of you know we all have issues and problems we deal with in the natural realm? Amen. Patience will help you to keep your faith active and engaged in the receiving process. Ready? While all hell is breaking loose in you and around you. Patience will help you keep your faith active and engaged in the receiving process while all hell is breaking out in the natural realm around you and against you emotionally. You got to control that. But listen to this. It's impossible to talk about faith without patience, because real problems will arise in your life that will try to shake you at your very core in your faith, in your faith in the Word of God and in the Lord. Amen? You know, I shouldn't have to separate those, because faith in the Word means you have faith in God. You get that, right? All right. Now, so that's why we always need to keep our faith tank full by hearing, reading, feeding on, and meditating on the Word of God. And hanging out with positive people will help that too. Right? Now, so we will hit unexpected challenges in life. Has anybody found that out yet? We will hit unexpected challenges in our life when believing for a promise in the Word of God. It's just going to happen. And the most important thing is to maintain our faith through those challenges, through the turbulence. Don't give up. Don't surrender your faith. Amen? The enemy, again, is always trying, I want to say it again, is always trying to poke a hole in your faith tank to discourage you, to disengage your faith, to get you to stop believing for what you've been believing God for. So faith has everything to do with time and not distance. Faith has everything to do with time. Maintaining your faith through the changing seasons of your life, through the smooth times, through the turbulent times. The Apostle Paul said something, that he was going through some turbulent times, and he said something very powerful that you need to take hold of and me. He said, none of these things will move me. None of these things will move me. To really understand faith, we need to understand something very important that I want to point out. Here we go. We're going to dive in. We're going to go a little deeper here. I'm just laying a foundation. Faith is a category separate from hope. Remember I talked about that? Faith and hope are different. Faith is in a separate category, because hope is future. I'm going to receive it sometime down the road. But faith says, I received it now. Okay? Hope expects something in the future that you haven't received yet. And spiritually speaking, faith receives something now. And here's what the Holy Spirit said. Are you ready for this? He said, hope deals with the natural realm, but faith deals with the spirit realm. Let that sink in. Because hope is saying, I'm going to receive something in the future, in the natural realm. But faith says, I receive it now in the spirit realm. Now, just let that sink in. I know I'm going to say some heavy things here, so I'm going to take my time. Remember a few messages ago, I talked about the ingredients of faith. You remember that? Which was hope. Which is also not just an ingredient, but it's a prerequisite to even have faith, right? Substance of things hoped for, right? Evidence of things not seen. So hope, and then there's substance and evidence. So hope, substance, and evidence was the ingredients needed for faith. Now, you can go back and listen to that message when I broke each of them down, but the Holy Spirit showed me something in Hebrews 11:1 that jumped right out and smacked me right in my spirit. Go to Hebrews 11:1 real quick. It's amazing how much the Holy Spirit can pull out of just one verse that the pastor brings up all the time. Something new. There's always something new he can bring out of it. That's why the Word of God is supernatural. It's not your normal book. It's supernatural. Amen? Check this out. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, or okay, never mind. We're not going to do verse 2. But anyways, as I was reading that verse, the Holy Spirit had me split that verse up like this. He had me take two things out of that verse and split them up like this. Substance of things hoped for and the evidence. That's one thing. Substance of things hoped for and the evidence. And then the last thing was of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for and evidence is referring to the spirit realm. All right? It's referring to the spirit realm. Those two aspects of substance and evidence has nothing to do with this natural realm. There's spiritual substance and spiritual evidence. Now, the other part, the not seen part of that verse, is referring to, what do you think that's referring to? What realm? The natural realm. Things not seen, meaning you haven't seen it. You don't see it in the natural yet with your physical eyes. It's not seen with your natural eyes, or it's not experienced with our natural senses yet in the natural realm. All right? Yet. Say yet. Which makes sense because faith carries or holds on to or has, come on, an endurance of a specific time frame. Until that thing you're believing is manifested or you experience it in the natural realm with your natural senses. Are you all following me so far? I think you are. I'm feeling good about this. But it's a done deal. Listen to me. Faith says this. It's a done deal and it's been received in the spirit realm by your personal faith and trust in God. Right? You don't see it. It's things not seen in the natural, but faith says it's a done deal. Say it's a done deal. The only way your personal faith will work is if you're in a spiritual mindset and not a carnal mindset. A spiritual mindset is satisfied with receiving it in the spirit realm or in your spirit without evidence in the natural realm, right? That's a spiritual mindset. You're cool with that, spiritually speaking. But a carnal mindset, a fleshly mindset, is absolutely not satisfied with anything spiritual. It's got to see it. It's got to experience it with your five senses in the natural realm, or else it's never satisfied, right? It's Thomas faith. I got to see to believe. No, but faith says you got to believe before you see. Are you following me? Now, this is why Colossians 3:1, which I'm going to read in a moment, tells us this, to set our mind, our thoughts, our satisfaction, come on things above in a spiritual sense, not on things on the earth. The carnal mindset, again, says, I got to see it in the natural realm to believe it. But the spiritual mindset says, I believe it and I see it on the inside in my spirit. I can picture myself with it in my imagination. I got the word of God to back it. Therefore, it's currently, come on, in the transfer process into the natural realm from the spirit realm. Now, I was asking the Holy Spirit for more revelation, more understanding of the faith process. And this thought flashed in my spirit. Here's where we're going to get some more revelation. Ready? This thought flashed in my spirit. Faith is spiritual. It only connects with the spiritual realm and spiritual things. You agree with that? But it impacts the natural realm for this reason. Here it goes. Ready? The spirit realm is in authority over or superior to the natural realm. Oh, come on. The spirit realm is in authority over, or you could say it this way, is superior to this natural realm. The natural realm is really the lower level. The spiritual realm is the daddy of it all. Come on, somebody. Everything we see in the natural realm was created by God from the spirit realm, right? The natural realm, this is why the natural realm is inferior to the spirit realm, because the natural realm was birthed out of the spirit realm when God said, let there be. Amen. The Holy Spirit spoke these words to me. This is powerful. Now, you got to get this. He said this: the natural realm lags behind the spirit realm. That is the process, ready, of sowing and reaping. Let me say it this way. The natural realm lags behind or is delayed behind the spirit realm. You sow into the spirit realm in faith, and you're going to reap something in the natural realm. Say sowing and reaping. So that lag time, or that delay of time between the spirit realm and the natural realm, requires faith, or come on, it requires an endurance of faith. Why? Because there's a lag time between the spirit and natural realm. There is, you need that endurance of faith to complete that transfer between the spirit realm and the natural realm. Why? Because there's a lag time. There's a delay. Now, that's why faith and patience are required. There's that lag time or delay between the two realms in connection to receiving a promise from the Word of God. Oh, and who do you think knows that better than us? The enemy. The enemy's spiritual. The enemy knows spiritual laws, the keys of spiritual keys more than we do. But that's going to change, right, Living Waters? Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus commanded us, listen to this. Jesus commanded us to seek first the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God spiritual or natural? Spiritual. Jesus commanded us to seek first the kingdom of God in the spirit realm, and seek his righteousness, and all of these things we need in our life would be added unto us. Jesus is telling us that the initiation, get this wording now, ready? Listen. Jesus is telling us that the initiation of the transfer or the sowing process of a blessing or provision from the Word of God begins in the spirit realm and completes in the natural realm. It's reaping. The transfers, the sowing, and the receiving in the natural is the what? Reaping. Say sowing and reaping. So we don't seek after things we need or want. Seek God and his word. Believe God and his word first, or else you're taking things out of divine order. Jesus, in a sense, said this: seek spiritual first, the spiritual priorities first. And then all these things will come into the natural realm for you. Spirit realm first, spiritual things first, and then comes the provision for your life in the natural realm. So you must properly activate, come on, the transaction. Say transaction. Between the two realms. Now go with me to Colossians 3. I want to show you something. You getting anything out of this? Now, I love pressing in for more understanding and revelation of the two realms. That's one of my biggest, greatest prayers every time I pray in here. Lord, teach me about the spirit realm and the natural realm and the connection of the two. Teach me about faith. Teach me about faith, hope, and love. Teach me. I want to know spiritual things because that's what's going to impact the natural realm. Amen? Did something just come flying by me? Did anybody see something? That was weird. Did you see that? No, something happened. That was weird. It's like a white thing that just floated right across. Anyways, Colossians 3, 1 through 2. Ooh, hallelujah. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above in the spirit realm, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So what I want to pull out is this. I've never seen this before. This part. Set. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. This is so hidden that you probably are going to miss it unless you have the Holy Spirit. Take that and throw it right at you. All right? I've never seen this before. Here's what I want to pull out of that. The word set. The word set is an endurance of timing dealing with our faith. It's set. It means not to disengage our faith, not to disengage our focus on the things connected to the kingdom of God. It means to have unshakable faith and focus of thought. The word set means, I've never seen it like this before, but the Holy Spirit said, he said, I'm talking about an endurance of time. Don't move from it. Stay there. Endurance, endurance. You're set. It's unmovable. Are you picking up what I'm laying down here? A spiritual mindset is unmovable and unshakable, connected to the kingdom of God. A carnal mindset is a wrong focus, and it can be shaken very easily. Why? I said it earlier. Because you're out of God's divine order. You're trying to do a transaction backwards. You're trying to do something naturally and receive the Spirit, but you got to sow in the Spirit to receive in the natural. Did you get that? It's the opposite. You're doing things in the opposite. It's opposite of the keys to the kingdom. It's always got to be spirit realm first, natural realm second. Say that with me. Spirit realm first, natural realm second. The point I really need you to understand right now is this, that there is a lag or a delay of time between believing or having faith until the answer takes place in the natural realm. There's that lag time. I'm trusting that this message is building some endurance. I'm trusting this message is, come on, filling your faith tank a little bit to give you more endurance for the trial that you're experiencing in your life. Or, come on, will experience. How many of you know we will have trials in life? Things are going to happen. That's not faithless. That's just life. That's why God says faith connected to patience. Because God knows, yep, there's going to be some headwinds. There's going to be some tailwinds. There's going to be some diversions. Come on. Amen. So that is the sowing and reaping process. Trust God and his word for a promise, and you will reap that promise. Now remember, the main focus of this message, talking about faith, is that I'm pulling out the timing and the endurance of time factor with the aspect of faith. Don't lose track of that now. Here we go. So the kingdom of darkness is always trying to get us to disengage or to fuel dump. You know, if there's an airliner that takes off out of Metro and they're full fuel, they're getting ready to go over the pond. They're getting ready to go to England. They take off out of Metro. They're full of fuel, man. And all of a sudden they say, we're having an engine problem. We got to go back to Detroit Metro. Well, because they have so much fuel and passengers, they're going to land overweight. So what do you think they got to do? They got to dump some fuel. So if you're ever standing out in your yard on a beautiful day and it starts raining fuel, you're having a jet dump on you. But they got to dump fuel so they can get to their maximum landing weight, or else when they land, they're going to damage the landing gear. So yeah, you're getting an airplane lesson today. So the enemy is always trying to get us to dump our fuel of faith. Always. Don't allow them to do it. Amen. You keep going over that pond. You keep heading toward wherever you're going to. Amen. Toward that promise in the Word of God. But here's what you got to do. You know, half of the battle is knowing the devices and tactics and schemes of the enemy. So here's what you need to do. Just be expecting, be equipped, and be prepared for, and don't give in to the wiles and the schemes of the devil in your thought life. That's half the battle, isn't it? When you know the enemy's going to try to get you to dump that fuel, don't do it. It's a trick. It's a deception. It's a lie. He's trying to get you to short-circuit your faith, to cut off, to stop your faith from operating. So faith is of the heart. It's activated and maintained in our thought life, which is our heart. All right? Faith is spiritual. Don't try to make natural sense out of it. That's why faith at times can seem absolutely crazy. What's this person doing? What? They're actually believing for this? They're nuts. Faith can seem crazy because it's totally has nothing to do with the natural circumstances. Amen. Now look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14. This is when Peter walked on water. See, I told you, I'm taking you back to some things that we talked about even a few weeks ago. But I don't know about you, but I can't hear that account enough anyways. I'd like to walk on water. Wouldn't you? And you know what? If it was necessary, you would be able to. Amen? If you had to whatever, it could happen. I believe that. Peter did it. Now, look at this. Matthew 14, 25 through 31, I want to take a look at. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, that always gets me. Underline that, fourth watch. Something about that 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. time. Ooh, my, the miracle hours there, ha. Now, on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of," underline it, "little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter, here's the ding. Ready? Listen. Peter walked on water until he didn't. Ta-da! We're all done. Have a great day, everyone. Enjoy the Super Bowl tonight. Now, listen to this now. You ready? I want you to notice what Jesus said about Peter's faith. Jesus actually called out the amount of faith in Peter's faith tank. "Oh, you of," here it is, "little faith, why did you doubt?" So doubt short-circuited Peter's faith. Why? Because he got focused on the storm. He got focused on the waves. That poked a hole, come on, in his faith tank, didn't it? Whatever you're focusing on, it's either going to poke a hole in your faith tank or it's going to build your faith. It's your focus. Say focus. But Jesus revealed the amount of faith that Peter had. It said he had little faith. I want you to notice that little faith or that little amount of faith that Peter had did allow him to walk on water, but not for very long. Did you hear what I just said? Not for very long. What is that in connection to? Time. Do you get it? Yeah. Little faith, little time. Yeah. Now, what if Peter had a lot of faith? What if Peter kept his eyes on Jesus? Could Peter have continued to walk on water? Yes. Absolutely. That's evident. But because he had little faith, he had little time of walking on the water. I don't know about you, but that just jumped out and slapped me right in the face when I read that. I'm connecting the different levels of faith in connection to specific endurances of time. Go with me to Mark 11. Mark 11. I'm going to go to these verses so much in my services that you guys are going to dream about these. You're going to dream about them. You're going to be in the shower. Instead of singing that crappy song, you're going to be saying Mark 11, 20 through 24. Mark 11, 20 through 24. Oh, my. Look at this. "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him," boy, Peter's pretty popular in the New Testament. "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." What does that mean? I say it all the time. Have the God kind of faith. Why? Meaning faith is spiritual. God created things from the spirit realm. He created the natural realm, right? "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, Jesus said, if you do not doubt in your heart, but believes. Doubt is referring to the interruption of the endurance of faith. Did you just hear what I said? Doubt is an interruption of that endurance of faith. It short circuits it. It stops it in the thought life of a person. Whoever maintains the endurance of their faith will receive whatever he or she says. That's what Jesus is basically saying. Whoever maintains the endurance of their faith will receive whatever he or she says. So faith must be maintained until it's seen or received in the natural realm. Don't let go of your faith until you know you have the answer. Well, how long do I got to believe? I don't know, until you see it. Until you experience it with your five senses in the natural realm. Amen? So I'm trying to drive that point home on the inside of you. Kenneth E. Hagin. Oh, they call him Dad Hagin. They call him Papa Hagin, right? Kenneth E. Hagin always said these words, and on his radio broadcast I'd listen to all the time. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Say that with me. Keep the switch of faith turned on. I like that. Many times Christians give up. We surrender our faith right before the breakthrough arrives in the natural realm. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to say this. If you're experiencing tons of warfare, you're probably pretty close to finding gold. Come on, did you just hear what I said? If it seems like all hell's coming against you, but you're hanging in there, you're riding through that turbulence, but you're still going, baby, right? And you're all hell's coming against you. I'm going to say the enemy probably sees something in the spirit realm that you're not seeing. Yes. That is an even better indicator to hold on tight, because everything's going to be all right if you hold on. Amen? Faith is always in connection to believing and time. Faith is always in connection to believing and time. Why? Because the natural realm, come on. Again, lags behind the spirit realm. Faith is spiritual, and faith is now. Faith receives in the spirit realm first. All right? So I'm repeating some things, but that's intentional. I'm not losing it up here. I'm actually doing this to drive home this point. Now, listen. Verse 24 said this. Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Man, that's so simple, isn't it? But listen to this. The Holy Spirit spoke something to me. He said this. Don't just believe when you pray. The believing must endure and carry on until the answer is experienced in the natural realm. Continue to believe. Because many Christians will say this. I've heard some Christians say this in the past. They'll say, well, I believe when I prayed. Well, you probably did, because that's the easy part. Right in the beginning, the faith problem was not at the starting point when you prayed. It was at the point that you walked away from that prayer, walked away from those faith-filled Christians standing with you, and you focused on every discouraging thing in the natural realm. And you allowed your faith to disengage. You allowed your switch of faith to be turned off. Oh, it's easy. Oh, isn't it? When you're at a prayer meeting with a bunch of fired up Christians, it's so easy to, oh yeah, Lord, yeah, cool. Hey, call my shanda barabaha. Yeah, Lord, I call this in. I call. And then they go home and it's like, you don't even remember. Remember praying? Remember? You got to kind of keep this faith thing going. Oh, I'm never going to get this. Oh, look at this thing. Oh, look at this. Look at that. It's all about, come on. Discouragement in the natural realm. The enemy is very slick. The enemy is very deceptive. They know your weak spots. They know what hot buttons to push in your thought life. They know what hot buttons to push in your, come on, unrenewed soul. You need to act and ignore those things. Ignore those distractions like they don't matter to you anymore. Because you believe God and his word. You believe that God has turned it around. You received it in the spirit. The disciples tried casting a demon out of a young boy. And they couldn't. And they asked Jesus, why? Jesus, why can't we cast this demon out? And he told them this. He said, because of your unbelief. He even said, you faithless and perverse generation. Again, faithless. What does that mean? Zero faith. No faith was active in them while they're trying to cast a demon out. So evidently, demons react to whether you have faith in the name of Jesus or not, whether you have faith to confront them or not. Did you just hear what I just said? Listen to this. Doubt and unbelief will prevent and stop the power of God, the kingdom of God, from operating in a specific situation in your life. That's why Jesus even had to kick people out of a room. Because these people were mocking him for wanting to raise up a dead young girl, to raise a girl from the dead. It literally said these idiots were mocking Jesus. Oh, you're going to raise her? Okay. And he said, see yourself out. See yourself out because you're tainting the atmosphere here. Jesus couldn't do any mighty works in Nazareth because of the people's unbelief. It says this, though. It's interesting. It says he healed a few sick people. He healed a few sick people. And that was either because they had those few had faith for it, or the spiritual gift of healing was in operation, and it touched people who had unbelief. I don't know. I'm leaning toward it as probably a few people that had faith for it, right? Because why would he stop at just a few people? Do you just hear what I said? That makes sense? Now, so I want to show you something in connection to the mustard seed of faith. Go with me to Mark 4. This is interesting. I want to give you something that the Holy Spirit gave me. Say mustard seed of faith. Oh, the mustard seed. The biggest excuse for Christians not to have faith. The biggest excuse to have lazy Christians not to believe God and his word. Well, we're going to slay that sacred cow right now. Look at this. Mark 4, 30 through 32. Jesus said these words. Jesus said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Jesus said, when a mustard seed is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and it shoots out large branches. It grows and becomes. Say that with me. Grows and becomes. Guess what that's talking about? It's referring to time, endurance. It's referring to, come on, sowing and reaping. Say sowing and reaping. Grows and becomes is referring to time or endurance of faith so that the thing you're believing for can develop and be received into the natural realm. I said develop. Say develop. It's got to develop. You plant something, it's not going to happen right away. It develops. It's a transfer. Come on, somebody. Now, real quick, go with me to Matthew 17. This talks about the mustard seed of faith. So one part of the mustard seed of faith is that it has to grow and develop. But then the Holy Spirit gave me another aspect about the mustard seed faith. Matthew 17, 19 through 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? This is when the disciples had a problem. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, say mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me about the mustard seed of faith from this passage. He said, a mustard seed of faith is the perfect amount of faith that endures long enough to complete a kingdom task. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me about the mustard seed of faith. A mustard seed of faith is the perfect amount of faith that endures long enough to complete a kingdom task. In this case, it was to move a mountain or cast out a demon. They're trying to cast out a demon, right? Jesus spoke this in connection to them saying, hey, why couldn't we cast this filthy thing out? What's going on here, right? Now remember, there are different levels or amounts of faith, and they're all connected to that specific time frame to endure until results in the natural realm are evident in the natural realm. A mustard seed of faith is still more powerful and can accomplish the impossible more than no faith can. A mustard seed of faith has the potential, ready, to manifest miracles. Jesus, now here, let me give you a little bit of a key here. We're doing great on timing. Listen to this. Jesus connects, you got to get this. Jesus connects prayer and fasting to help create a mustard seed of faith in our heart for a specific kingdom task. Oh, my, my, my. Remember, Jesus mentioned the mustard seed in this account because the disciples said, hey, we're trying to cast this devil out. Why couldn't we? He said, because of unbelief. The disciples' problem was unbelief, and Jesus' solution was this. Ready? Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting will create mustard seed faith on the inside of you to accomplish a kingdom task. In Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus tells her, he said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. The Holy Spirit said this to me when I read that. Ready? He said, the woman with the issue of blood had mustard seed faith. She had mustard seed of faith, and she got her healing miracle. Why? Because it was enough faith. It was enough faith to accomplish the kingdom task in her body. Listen to this. At some point, that woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus, and it activated, not faith. What do you think it activated in her? No, well, yes, but hope. Remember, hope is a prerequisite to have faith. If there's no hope, it's impossible to turn it into faith. So there's got to be hope on the inside. There was a hope activated in her heart when she heard, hey, Jesus is coming your way. An expectation. She then at that point had an expectation that, hey, Jesus is coming. I'm going to receive my miracle when he comes through this city or wherever. And then she said these words. She said these words. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, she created, here's what this woman with the issue of blood did. She created a point of contact for her faith. How? By thinking, by believing, by verbally speaking, and then doing something by touching Jesus' clothes. Now listen to this, but you got to get this. Are you ready? Listen to me. It was hope until she literally touched Jesus' clothes. Did you just hear what I said? It was hope. The moment she touched his clothes, faith arose. It was hope until she touched Jesus' clothes. That was her set point of contact for her faith, for her healing miracle. Her faith had a target. Her faith was very specific. Remember, I always said this, faith is not general, it's specific. What do you want? What do you want to receive from God? What do you need? Don't make it blanket. Be very specific. Say specific. Now listen to this. When she touched Jesus' clothes, when she did what she said she needed to do to get healed, did you hear what I'm saying? When she did the action of what she said she needed to do to get healed, it literally pulled out or released the anointing out of Jesus' body into her body, and she received her miracle. It said that Jesus knew that power came out of him. That spiritual power was released. Literally, Jesus felt something. And that was the anointing, the power of God being released. This woman's faith, when she touched his clothes, that was her faith. That's where her point of contact for her faith was. So it was all hope got transferred to faith when she touched Jesus' clothes, and it drew the power of God out of Jesus. Faith, you could say, was the pipeline that transported the power or the anointing out of Jesus into that woman's body to heal her. Say, faith is a pipeline. Say, it's a spiritual pipeline. Again, the woman had hope until she touched Jesus' clothes, but then she did exactly what she said she was going to do. Jesus told a man about his dead daughter, because Jesus was going to go and raise her up. He said, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not, and I'm on the last page now, get ready, here we go. He said, do not fear, only believe. Jesus was telling that man to maintain his faith for his daughter. Don't allow your faith to be shaken. Don't allow your faith to be shaken. Allow your faith to endure until I raise her from the dead in the natural realm. Keep the pipeline of faith connected. The switch of faith. What? Turned on. Jesus said something very interesting in Luke 18:1. In Luke 18:1, before he talks about the persistent widow and her boldness, which is a lesson on prayer and boldness, Jesus said something very important. It says, then he spoke a parable to them that men or people always, say always, always ought to pray and not lose heart. Don't dump your faith. Faith is of the heart. Men or people always ought to pray and not lose heart. Jesus is talking about maintaining faith, the endurance of faith in the hard times of life. So Jesus said, don't lose heart. And then you'll pass right by it. Jesus gave us the answer of how not to lose heart. Prayer is the key to endure faith. Say prayer. Prayer. We need to keep the line of communication open with our Heavenly Father. Again, why did Jesus get up before the sun rose every morning to pray to his Heavenly Father? Guess what he was doing? Filling his faith tank. He was filling his faith tank. And then we wonder why we get so burned out and dragged down. We get spiritually lazy. We all do, don't we? Jesus is telling us that to encourage us and to remind us that breakthrough will surely come, and don't let down that shield of faith. I want to end this message with one more passage that connects believing and faith with time. Seed, time, harvest. Go with me to Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2. I talked about this a few weeks ago, I believe, but I just, again, the Holy Spirit said, go back to these scriptures, and I want you to pay attention to the time factor, the endurance of time factor stamped on these passages and verses. Habakkuk 2:2-3, very popular passage. And it says these words. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision down and make it plain on tablets. That would be paper for us, unless you're Fred Flintstone. And make it plain on tablets or I guess it could be an electronic tablet these days, that he may run who reads it. So I want you to notice it's very detailed vision. It's not just some blanket thing. This is very detailed instructions of what the vision is. Are you following me? For the vision is yet for an appointed, underline it, time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie, though it tarries or waits or, come on, ready? Legs behind. Because this vision that you got from the Lord is spiritual. And there's a lag time or a delay time, come on, into the natural realm. Oh, are you following it? Though it tarries, though it waits, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Whatever vision or promise the Lord has put in your heart, not what someone told you, but what was already in your heart. Really, a prophetic word most of the time should be in your heart and then a confirmation of what's been stirring. Are you following me? Not always. Most of the time. Don't lose hope and faith for that thing to come to pass. Patiently wait for the vision to come to pass. Maintain your endurance of faith until it comes to pass in the natural realm. You're allowing God to work on you, to prepare you to fulfill that vision. Amen? Fight discouragement with your focus and faith. Fight discouragement with your focus and faith. Your faith has the power, the ability to pull out that which is on the inside of your heart. It's able to pull what's inside of your heart. It's able to pull what's on the inside in your spirit, on the movie screen of your imagination, into the natural realm. That's what faith can do. Whatever you're believing God for, always remember this. It's just as much. You got to get this before we go. Say, I'm going to listen. Always remember this. It's just as much of a reality on the inside of you with your faith as it will be on the outside of you when it manifests in the natural realm. That's the essence of faith. Faith receives now in the spirit. Don't allow the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy your precious faith and patience in your heart. Allow your faith and patience to endure the test of time and work together to pull that blessing and promise from the spirit realm. Come on, into this natural realm. Let's stand up in this place. The endurance of faith. The endurance of faith. Because we got to maintain faith. We got to have faith when we don't see it in the natural yet. Prayer team, come on forward. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Today's the day of salvation. I can't stress that enough. Take advantage of the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. And I want you to come forward right now to one of the prayer team members and say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. You've fallen away. And not just that, maybe you're not backslidden, but you let go of a vision. You let go of a promise that you were holding on to for a long time, but you allowed the enemy, you allowed discouragement to make you dump your fuel of faith. If you want a refill, you need prayer. You need encouragement. You need strength. You're ready to get back in that battle. You're ready to get back in that plane. Well, you know what? We just took the speed bumps off the runway. Now you got to fill your aircraft with the fuel. If you need prayer, come on forward, and they'll pray with you for that. If you never received the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They'll pray over you. Praying in tongues, being available for the gifts of the Spirit, 9 gifts of the Spirit to flow through you. It's basic equipment. If you need prayer for anything else, come on forward. We got a lot of things going on this week, right? Our normal stuff, and we also have Wellspring, right? Now, Wellspring is marriage-related this week. So all you husbands and anybody, not just husbands and wives, it's anybody, relationships, come on out. We have a great time. It's a lot of fun. So, all right, everyone, be safe. And grab a newsletter. It has all that. Yeah, grab the newsletter. Is that this Friday?
No.
What? February 20th at 7 p.m. is the young adults, 18 to 35. So Sign up in the foyer right back there. Thank you. Is there anything else, anybody? Okay. Have a great time. I love you all. Come on back. Meditate on the word. Re-listen to it. Share it with a friend. Love you all. God bless. Have a great week.